The great God, our Savior. The great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Together with the Epistle to the Romans, the Epistle to the Hebrews is one of the great theological and doctrinal treatises of the Word of God. The first part speaks of our Lord as being a new and better deliverance, a deliverer. The second part as having a new and better sacrifice. The third part as offering a new and better principle by which we can be saved. That is, faith, not works. Now we notice who he is. Who he is. The first chapter of Hebrews sets forth our Lord's absolute and certified deity. First of all, he is the heir of all things. Chapter 1, verse 2. No created being could ever be heir of this vast and illimitable universe. Secondly, he is the maker of the world. Verse 2. Worlds here means ages. The Son of God framed and designed the different dispensations of time and brought the whole into existence by the word of his mouth. Third, he is the brightness of God's glory. Verse 3. He is the outshining of all that God is. He embodies in himself every divine attribute and perfection. Fourthly, he is the express image of his person. Verse 3. That is the exact image, impress of God's essential being. As wax retains the exact image of a seal, so does the Lord Jesus the exact image of all that God is. Fifthly, he upholds all things by the word of his power, verse 3. All things move in their own orbits and are held there and move to exact moments of time there by the power of the eternal Son of God. Such is the exalted dignity of the Lord Jesus as the eternal Son of God. His sonship belongs to essential deity. He possesses divine attributes, exercises divine prerogatives, and is the emanation of all divine excellence and beauty. The well-informed Christian needs to ask, who is it? He bears so many divine titles in the Old Testament as the promised Messiah, and the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It is of him who was in the beginning, who was with God, who was God, and by whom all things were made. John chapter 1 verses 1 to 4. The eternal life, the life and the light of men, who was made flesh and dwelt among men, who revealed the Father, and was over all God blessed forever, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. John 1, 14 and 18, Romans 9, verse 5, and verses 1 to 4. Such is the exalted dignity of the Lord Jesus as the eternal Son of God. His sonship belongs to essential deity. Now chapter 2 then shows his true and proper manhood. He was made a little lower than the angels. Hebrews 2 verse 9. This is a quotation from Psalm 8, in which Messiah's incarnation is prophesied and was necessary for the sufferings of death. Secondly, he was a partaker of our flesh and blood. Hebrews 2:14. All that needed to be done for human redemption could only be done by his assuming our human nature, or else he would have had no blood with which to atone for our sins. Thirdly, he took on him the seed of Abraham, verse 16. He must needs come by way of a particular segment of the human race, it was most fitting to come by Abraham's line, as Israel was God's chosen vehicle for his self-revelation and the accomplishment of his eternal purposes. He suffered being tempted. Chapter 2, verse 18. He was made open to temptation, to feel the force of it, the malignant nature of it, and the subtlety of it. That is who he is, the God-man. Now we notice what he did. First, by himself he purged our sins. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Only because he was the infinite God could he absorb the infinite punishment of sin. He did this by himself, and none other could lay a hand to help him. Secondly, he destroyed the devil. Verse 14. The word destroy does not mean annihilate, but to render powerless, to disarm, to make idle. The Goliath of hell fell before the conquering Lord, and never again dare confront him. Thirdly, he delivered his people from the fear of death. Verse 15. We all fear death. Death is the king of terrors to men in sin. The sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 56. But it loses its terror when we come to Jesus and indeed becomes a friend to transport us into the presence of his glory. Now thirdly, we notice where he is. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. This signals a completed work. Here is dignity. Here is acceptance by the Father. Here is authority, which is at the Father's right hand, the place of power and authority. Then let us look well to him whom we worship. As Paul writes to Titus, he is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us look and see who he is, what he did, and where he is. He is God without to save us, God within to cheer us, God above to bless us, God who came into our humanity to atone for our sins, God who reigns on the throne of heaven to help us. He loves as God. He saves as God. He aids as God. And he has taken this seat on high as our mediator so that we may present our worship, praise, and adoration to God and to be greeted with his smile of approval. In the matter considered here, we are presented with the sole ground of our hope. The finished work of Christ is all perfect righteousness, and the glory conferred upon it is the ground, the sole ground, of our hope for pardon and salvation. Nothing short of entire satisfaction to the law and justice of God could lay a foundation for the salvation of a sinner. All we need here and now, and for our eternal acceptance into heaven, is the obedience unto death of the incarnate Son of God in the character of the surety of men. And his entrance into heaven to sit at the right hand of the majesty on high is that we might hold our inheritance there. The keys are in his hand. Leaning on him, we shall have abundant entrance. safe by his side, we shall inherit all of heaven's glory. Remember what Paul said to Titus, chapter 2 and verse 30. He is the great God, our Savior. Now listen to a hymn by an anonymous writer in the 15th century, translated by John Mason Neal. To the name of our salvation, Lord and honor let us pay, which for many a generation hid in God's foreknowledge lay. But with holy exultation we may sing aloud today. Jesus is the name we treasure, name beyond what words can tell, name of gladness, name of pleasure, ear and heart delighting well, name of sweetness, passing measure, saving us from sin and hell. Jesus is the name exalted over every other name. In this name, wherein assaulted, we can put our foes to shame. Strength to them who else had halted, eyes to blind, and feet to lame. Therefore we, in love adoring, this most blessed name revere. Holy Jesus, thee imploring, so we write it in us here, that hereafter heaven would soaring, we may sing with angels there. Amen. And amen. Amen.